Welcome to the Remedy Church Podcast. We're coming to you from Waxahachie, Texas, and you can find out more about us at www.remedy-church.com. Our great hope and prayer for this is that God speaks to you through this message.
I want to invite you to turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 22 through the end of the chapter and into chapter 4, verse 1. I want to welcome everybody online. Thanks for tuning in with us. I'm going to read this for us, and then I'm going to ask us to pray together, and we are going to dive into God's word this morning. Colossians chapter 3, Paul's letter to the church at Colossae. Chapter 3, starting at verse 22, and then we'll pray. God's word says this to us this morning. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Let's pray together. God, I thank you so much for our church family. God, it's your grace to us as we sing to you and as we remind each other of the gospels through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. God, thank you for allowing us to gather this morning. God, thank you for our kiddos that are in here with us. Father, thank you for the people and the families that make up this body at Remedy Church. We are yours. And as we hear from you this morning, would you accomplish your good purposes in and through us? Would you renew our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus? Would you show us the gospel and may it motivate us to live out our lives for the glory of Christ? So we ask that you would accomplish what we cannot do this morning, that you would change us, that you would make us more like Jesus. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, the last couple weeks, we've been talking about several things that are very, very practical outworkings of the gospel and of following Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we talked about orphan and foster care and how the gospel motivates us into those spaces. Last week, Aaron walked us through the gospel in all areas of our life, how we love each other, showing hospitality, marriage, contentment, finances, all these really practical things. And this morning, we're going to keep in line with that and just ask some really practical questions like, with the gospel being true, how should I work? Like when everybody, like Monday morning's coming and everybody's like, y'all are like frowning at me right now, okay? It's okay. Like I'm getting this from the room, okay? Like tomorrow's Monday and we all said, yeah, amen. So like in light of how you feel, let's like take the gospel and look at the gospel and go, this is how we may feel, but what does the gospel mean about work? And let's just be clear before we lay this out. When we're talking about work, everybody, including our awesome kids in the room, all the parents said amen. Kids have a job. It's called going to what? Yes. Say it again, people. Going to what? Yeah, it's your job. My kid this morning said, am I getting paid for this? And I'm like, we'll talk about that later, okay? All right, but we all have responsibilities, whether you're a kiddo going to school, whether you're a mom working hard, homeschooling or working hard in the home, or you're in the workplace, wherever you are working, we are all working. There's no retirement in the Bible. Yes and amen to that, right? Okay, so we all have things that we are stewarding and called to for the glory of God. And we want to ask the question, in light of what God has done for us in the gospel, how should we work? So we're going to quickly walk through this morning, and then we're going to have kind of a panel discussion up here that Aaron's going to lead after this time to get really in the weeds and just let us hear from ourselves and the Remedy family about how this fleshes out in the workplace, wherever we find ourselves, where God has placed us. So we just dive in here in verse 22 of Colossians 3. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. So let's just be clear about the word bondservant here, okay? You look at that and you're like, whoa, bondservant and master, I'm done. Don't let that hijack your brain right now, Okay, if you go and do a good study on that and find out what the Greek means in that and what the context of this time was, there it was very common in this day and age when this was written in Roman culture, where people would work for a master or employer. They would have a contract for 7 years, and at the end of those 7 years, they would literally get paid. So it wasn't like the type of, we think about the horrendous atrocities of slavery and all the things that we know to be true historically. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a contractual agreement where money was exchanged and people were then freed and they went on to a different job or a different master, whatever the case may be. Okay, we good? Okay, so let's get locked in there. And it says, bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters. So again, wherever you find yourself, if you're an employer or an employee, or you have people under you, or you're working for someone else, let's think about it in light of these things. And it says, obey in everything. Happy Sunday. How do you like the word obey? How's that land on you? Monday morning's coming and obey, right? Okay. And then in light of that, like it talks about our heart attitude here. Don't do it by way of eye service as people pleasers, but do it with the sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. And so this is just a good question. As I work, am I motivated by duty or delight? Like, think about that. As you work, wherever you find yourself, are you motivated by duty or delight? Like, are you just doing it as a people pleaser because this is what I'm called to do and I'm just going to grin and bear it and I'm going to do my job? Or are you motivated by the gospel with delight, knowing that you're fearing the Lord, serving Jesus in these things, and that's fueling why you're going to work on a Monday morning and serving the Lord this way? So here's just a couple prayers as we walk through this text. The first one is this: may we work humbly and be obedient in all things, in awe and trembling before Jesus. May we work humbly and be obedient in all things, in awe and trembling before Jesus. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on. Whatever you do, in verse 23, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. So there's just another simple prayer for us. May we work hard in all things, knowing that we are serving Jesus. Like, let this motivate you as you go out the door tomorrow morning. Okay? Work heartily, like work hard. Like, we as followers of Jesus should be the best workers. We should be diligent in all things. We should show excellence in all things because we know ultimately that we're ultimately serving Jesus. We're not serving man. So be obedient in all things with sincerity of heart. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men. Verse 24, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance. I love this. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. Like, it's not a inheritance, it's the inheritance. So what's he talking about? Like, eyes to heaven, eyes toward the future return of Jesus, eyes toward the inheritance that we have as followers and sons and daughters of Jesus, our eyes fixed there. And so here's just another simple prayer. May we work with the confidence that serving Jesus now guarantees our reward with Jesus forever. Okay? So we're not looking for the payback now. A lot of us, it's easy to get disgruntled at work or get frustrated at work or go like, this is not fair, or fill in the blank, all the different things that could come up for us. Like, we're looking to the reward that is coming, and his name is who? Jesus. He's our reward. And so we can work with diligence and with sincerity of heart and all these things, knowing that ultimately our reward is with Jesus forever. And then it's interesting that he addresses this. He says, at the end of verse 24, you are serving the Lord Jesus. And then verse 25, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. So Paul, writing to the Colossians, is acknowledging, hey, in the workplace, there's some wrong being done. There's some problems happening. There's some unjust masters. Okay, there's some bosses out there that are not fearing the Lord, and they're abusing people and doing things in a way that is not healthy, it's not right, it's not good. And he addresses it by saying the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done. There is no partiality. So here's the prayer that goes with that. Then we'll look at a couple other passages that give us some context. May we entrust ourselves to our God who judges justly and shows no partiality. Now think about this in context of your workplace or hard work situations. May we entrust ourselves to our God who judges justly and shows no partiality. Like we know the passage in Romans, like vengeance is whose? Mine, God says, and I will repay. But what do we want to do? We want to bring the big stick and we want to reap judgment right now. It's not fair. It's not fill in the blank. We get mad and we get frustrated because we've been wronged and we want to make it right on our own. May we entrust ourselves to God who judges justly and shows no partiality. Now listen to how Peter says this in a couple of different places. This is 1 Peter 2, verses 18 through 21. Same context. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. So these are just really practical things. Do you respect your boss? Are you showing them honor and respect? Not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust. Thanks, Peter. For this is a gracious thing when mindful, you see it? When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. This is what we're asking God to do through us, that we would endure sorrows while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. Hear this, church. It's a gracious thing in the sight of God that he would entrust you to a workplace or an unjust master and let you suffer for doing good. It's God's grace. Why? How does this make sense? For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you. Here's the gospel, church, leaving you an example that you might follow in his steps. Like, this is not new to us. We know this. Christ modeled this for us. He suffered unjustly. Why could we not and would we not trust our great God and suffer unjustly in the midst of these things? He goes on in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. So now we see why. Be prepared to open your mouth and give a clear reason for the hope of the gospel in your life. Having a good conscience so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And make no mistake, you will be slandered. You identify with following Jesus. Like, let's even get past I'm a Christian. Let's just talk about I follow Jesus. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I follow Jesus. I listen to him. He's master of my life. You claim that and own that in the workplace, you will be slandered. If it's not happening, it will happen. Our culture is more and more becoming opposed to the gospel and opposed to Jesus. So you will be slandered in these things. Those who revile your good behavior in Christ, they will be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good. Listen to this. This is super important. If that should be God's will. So what if God's will is to place you in a job where you will suffer? Do you have a place for that in your theological closet? I hope you do. Because where's our reward, church? It's coming with Jesus. And a lot of times the temptation, the world or our flesh or our culture would say, just leave. What if there's a gospel reason for you to be there? What if God's called you to it? Like, we're not foolish, willy-nilly, like, oh, we're just going to suffer for the sake of suffering. No, we look at Jesus and we follow him into suffering. He's with us in it. So I'm saying we need to use prayerful discernment about where God has placed us and why he has placed us there and ask these hard questions, because it could be God's will that we would suffer for doing good rather than doing evil. Then listen to Titus 2, verse 9 and 10, bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative. There's something super practical. not pilfering, but showing all good faith, listen to this, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. Do you see what your good works are doing? You're adorning the gospel. You're adorning the doctrine of God. You're making beautiful and showing the precious treasure of the gospel in Jesus by how you live out your faith at work. So the prayer is this: may we be prepared to endure suffering under unjust masters as a means of adorning the gospel. And then lastly, in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." So there's some of us in the room that are supervisors, and you're over groups of people and teams of people and a lot of people. And God's placed you there in his providence on purpose. And this word is for you, for those that you are leading. May we lead those, the prayer is this, may we lead those serving under us with justice and fairness, knowing the standard Jesus set for us. Like, that should bring fear and trembling to us. We know we have a master in heaven. Let's lead and guide our people under us as the way that Jesus leads and loves us. Listen to 1 Timothy 6, verses 1 and 2. "Let all who are under a yoke as bondservants regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and the teaching may not be reviled. Those who have believing masters must not be disrespectful on the ground that they are brothers." Now, this is also really practical. There would be a temptation to go, "Well, you're a Christian. I'm a Christian. You follow Jesus." And we get this like, okay, I'm just going to get a little light on how I'm talking or whatever the case may be. Like, he specifically addresses it. Okay, don't be disrespectful. "Rather, they must serve all the better, since those who benefit by their good service are believers and beloved." So just super, super practical here. In light of what God has done for us in the gospel, how should we work? And we would say it this way, that as bondservants of Jesus, motivated by the gospel. So like, bondservants shouldn't scare us because we're a bondservant of Jesus, right? Okay, so in our earthly jobs and our roles where God has called us vocationally, wherever they may be, school, home, in the workplace, wherever you find yourself, as bondservants of Jesus, motivated by the gospel, may we work hard, church. Let's work hard. Let's work diligently. May we be prepared to endure suffering. If you haven't yet, you probably will. Let's be prepared for that. Let's not be surprised by it. Let's be prepared to endure suffering. And for those of us that are called to lead or in leadership roles, lead others like Jesus. And we'll close with this from 1 Corinthians 9. Paul says it this way: "For though I am free from all," he knew he was free in Jesus. So it's not just free grace. I can do whatever I want to do, live how I want to live. I don't have to be a good worker. No, I am free from all. I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more of them. Here's where the gospel motivation comes, church. We have been won by the gospel, and the gospel's not just for us. It's for those that God has placed around us where we live, work, and play. To the Jews, I became a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not myself being under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win more of those. You see it? That I might win them, that I might win them outside the law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I've become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. And let's be clear, Paul knew that he wasn't the one saving them. He knew that God was saving them, but he was doing it through his life. And I would say this to us, church, as we enter into this Christmas season and people's radars are up a little bit to the things of God and the story of Christmas and things like that, what if God has placed you in your workplace for the exact means to the end of saving some? That there are those who need to hear the hope of the gospel in the next couple weeks, and he's going to use your life and your mouth and your lips to share that message. Verse 23, I love it. "I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings." May we do it all for the sake of the gospel, as bondservants of Jesus, motivated by the gospel. May we work hard, be prepared to endure suffering, and lead others like Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for your grace to us, and thank you for your word. And I just pray now, as we hear from some in our church family about what it means to flesh this out in the workplace, that you would guide their conversation, that you would just feed our hearts and our minds with truth as we've heard from your word and as we hear from your people, that we would be challenged and encouraged as we think about what it means to live out our faith at work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Going to go ahead and invite our people who are coming up to come on up. Yeah, let's go ahead and put those up here. I'll move this over for you. Yep. We got a few people that we want to kind of throw into the hot seat here. Brian just did a really good job talking about what does it look like to, from a biblical perspective, teaching. We always want to base everything we're doing on what the scriptures say. So how do you, what does the Bible have to say about living out our faith as we work, whether that be in a actual workplace or at home, or with kids or school or any of those scenarios. And so what we want to do now for the next few minutes is just kind of make that very practical. I think we all kind of sit here and go, man, the Bible said some really clear and powerful things about it. What does it look like on a day-to-day level when you get down to the ground? Okay, so when it talks about adorning the gospel and working from delight rather than duty and all of those kind of things, that I believe that. That's great. What do I do? How do I live that out? What does that look like in my context? And so we've got a few. You guys are going to be the experts. There's this thing called the illusion of expertise. By being up front, you just become the expert naturally. So everything you say here is gold. We know that coming in. So we're just going to ask some real practical questions to some people sort of living this out. In our church family, we actually have a lot. There are several other people in our church family that came to my mind. Some even said, no, I'm not doing that. So there are a lot of people in our church family who could kind of who live this out on a regular basis and could be sitting here. But we've got Nathan Daves. He's one of our elders and is the what's your actual title? Principal? Yeah. Principal at Waxahachie Preparatory Academy. Philip Johnson, what's your actual title? Director of Disability Services and Testing, I think you told me earlier. He has a very technical title because he, like, does everything. He's the man. So he works at Navarro College, Waxahachie, but also down in Corsicana. And we have the beautiful Charity Clayton. Sorry, they need to know. this is my wife, and she is the president and CEO of Charity Clayton Photography. So a different kind of perspective from a woman, but also someone who owns her own business and raises a family and does all those kind of things and then works on top of even that. And so we just want to get a lot of perspective from some different places. And, man, I just want to say to you guys, you came to mind quickly, because as I think about what does it look like to work heartily unto the Lord in your work, and you're all doing that exceptionally. And so I think we have a lot to learn from you guys. So we just have a few short minutes. I just want to kind of dive deep real quick with just some of the things that Brian said and kind of trying to unpack what some of that stuff kind of looks like. So I just want to give you an opportunity, sort of a softball here. If somebody just said, man, I feel convicted by this. I want to go live out my faith at work. What might be just the first thing you'd say? Maybe one point or one tip or one principle. You'd go, man, that could be a 30-minute conversation, but since I only have 2 minutes, here's what I would tell you. Here's how you go and live your faith out at work. Any one of you have the answer first?
I would say first, I feel convicted by this, you know, as you're, you know, seeing that and just kind of, you know, in Colossians particularly, I have a tendency, I think we all do, but I definitely do, to think my rights are like, you know, the most important thing in regards to the, you know, I need to have this, this, and this. And if you're out of line of that, then I shouldn't suffer one bit. You know, I need to, you know, in America, we are quick to, you know, say, oh, things are getting hard. I'm getting out, or you're doing something wrong. And so that was actually, you know, just the Lord just reminding me of that this morning. So that comes to mind first.
Yeah, that's really great.
Yeah, that's really great. I think something that I've learned in the last maybe 2 years of my business is that God is sovereign over every detail. So every client that comes my way, God has entrusted me with being a light to them. So I have clients that come to me from all different walks of life. And so I look for opportunities to speak the gospel or to adorn the gospel by showing love and serving really well. And when the Lord gives opportunity to speak But I think God's sovereignty in bringing, I feel like he's entrusting those people to me, and I have a responsibility to steward each of those opportunities really well.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I made notes because my brain goes to mush when I get up here in front of all of y'all. But yeah, I think the first thing that weighed heavy on me as I sat down and started thinking about this is none of us up here or anywhere are pretending to do this perfectly or even well. So that means I have really good days at work, and I have bad days at work, and I have really bad days at work very often, and all of those, and sometimes all on the same day. But the first thing that came to mind was just 2 Corinthians 12, like 9 through 10, is just like his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I mean, my job, and I tell people this all the time, my job reveals, like, just lays bare every weakness that I have on a daily basis, and sometimes embarrassingly and very humbling. And at the same time, it requires, like, every bit of the strengths that God has gifted me with. And so, like, you know, just as I reflect on that, just, and I know you feel the same, so that's why, like, I just feel like I have to be honest about that, is that like, left to myself, like, I'm a deeply insecure person, deeply insecure. So when I show up to work every day, like, you know, I need something outside of myself, and that's Jesus. Left to myself, you know, and those insecurities, like, they manifest themselves in anger and depression and withdrawal and, you know, like, self-deprecation of, like, belittling myself. And so I'm assuming that all of you struggle with those things, same things too. But the reality is, like what we're talking about here, like, all those things are linked to what I'm not believing about the gospel. All those things are linked to anytime I'm feeling those things, it is because there is a lack of depth and intimacy in my walk with the Lord that I'm not getting from his word, that I'm not getting in, you know, turning to him and his word and through prayer. And so if I'm not doing that on a daily basis, you know, like, I'm hanging myself out to dry. I'm walking into this battlefield where there are these expectations of me serving and loving the Lord, and I've got no ammunition whatsoever because I have not reminded myself of, through God's word, of the deep doctrines of who he is and what he has done for me. And so, yeah, I mean, those are the things that I have to be reminded of and pursue on a daily basis. Or it's all for naught.
Yeah, I think that's really good, because in the passage that we just talked about, it talks about serving as unto the Lord. And if we're going to say, okay, I'm going to do that, but I'm not going to walk deeply with Jesus, that feels very much like a burden. Yeah. It does not feel delightful.
Yeah.
But if you're going to walk deeply with Jesus and humbly submit your failures and your need to him and walk in the power that he will supply to us, yeah, then serving unto the Lord, that's when it starts to feel like delight, and you might actually be able to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's going with what Brian was saying, like, work. We're created to work, and we're all created to create and restore. And if you really look and analyze it, everything that you do, whether that's from photography or from what Philip does or from what I do, like on a daily basis, we're creating and restoring, and because we're created in the image of God to do those very things. And so without being deeply connected to him, we can't. But because of the fall and because of sin, like, work is a labor and it's a burden. But within that, the gospel frees us to have joy and to find peace and as we pursue his glory in those things. But we have to be reminded of that daily through his word.
That's
through
good.
Deeply connected to him.
Yeah, that's right. That's where you start. Yeah. So Brian used this big word, adorning the gospel, and just talking about clothing ourselves with it and putting the gospel and the glories of God on display through the gospel. So tell me, because you guys do all three very different things. You work around and with very different sort of bases of people. So what does it look like for you to do that? You know, like, to live by biblical values, gospel-centered, Jesus saturated things in a context or a culture that doesn't maybe either doesn't love Jesus at all or definitely isn't based around those themes. Or Nathan, I mean, even in your context, we all are operating around people who don't act like Christians, you know, some of the time. So just what does it look like to put those things on maybe in a situation or a context that isn't naturally lending itself to we love Jesus and we're all trying to follow Jesus together?
So I think about this, like in Matthew 28, Jesus said, all authority on heaven and earth is mine. And when I think about at the workplace, there are certain things that in a workplace can go on that are not in submission to the authority of Christ. And we as believers actually are called to call our workplaces to submit to the authority of Christ in whatever ways that we can. And practically speaking, when I think of that, you know, and just having coworkers that don't know Christ, you know, and you think about, you know, number one, in what I do and the principles that I'm going to have, I'm going to honor him. And the other thing, I just practically, like when I'm, you know, just really abiding in Christ, it's before I'm getting out of my car door in the parking lot, before I step feet on the concrete, usually I'm just asking, Lord, will your blessing be upon this campus or other campuses, and upon me, you know? And so that, starting that off and then recognizing, you know, as those people, and again, there are days I go I forget that God has said in Ephesians, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I forget about that a lot. And yet when I recognize that, you recognize, oh, just like Charity was saying, is that you recognize that those people that you come across, that God has ordained those things to take place. And so I have, when I pray for opportunities to share, among even people that may be hostile, the other thing you find is that they're also, you know, if you look at those people that are not hostile, and then you pray for those opportunities, and God almost always answers prayer when I'm asking, will you give opportunity for me to share the gospel in a day with someone, and that God opens up those opportunities almost every time that I ask for those things.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I feel like it's really important for me just to mention that my favorite and most important job and most full-time job is at home with my kids. And I know a lot of you, you guys are in that same boat, and it's my most difficult job. And the one, like Nathan was saying, that exploits all of my weaknesses and my faults. And it's like, my kids are the ones that see all that. And it's not the adults. Like, if there were adults hanging out in my house, I'd be a lot nicer and more Christ-like. But I feel conviction about that. And even this morning, I felt like I was sat down in the Word just with this desperation. Like, God, I cannot do these things. Like, my flesh feels so weak. Particularly right now, I'm really tired. So just learning how to depend on the Lord and ask him for those things. And I hope that sometimes I adorn the gospel to my children by speaking to them of Jesus and hopefully showing them Jesus and what it looks like to be a disciple of Christ. I hope that's true. And then every time I go to a job, I don't get a whole lot of time by myself, but I spend the time in the car just asking the Lord to let me see his beauty when I'm shooting and when I'm working, to let me see the light and the creativity, and to help me to really love and connect with my clients well. And I think I mentioned it earlier, but we use this term like people of peace. So I'm going to encounter some of my clients who I know beforehand, because of the lifestyle that they're living in, are probably going to be hostile to the gospel. And then, but I'm always looking for people of peace who are responsive. Yesterday I shot for a family the grandfather has a terminal, cancer diagnosis, and it doesn't look good. And so it was this last shoot with him and his kids and his grandkids. And I'm like, what an opportunity. This is so special, but like, what an opportunity for me to have. And so I was just looking for a way to like speak the name of Christ, or to let them know that I'm going to be praying for them. It turns out that one of these families lives in my neighborhood. And so I just feel like they didn't seem to be people who know Jesus, but But I feel like the door is wide open now for me to invite into my home. They just live around the corner from me. So I feel like I'm always looking for those kind of opportunities and for looking for someone who is just more open. Adorning the gospel, I try to speak openly about who I am. You know, it's like my husband's a pastor. What do you do? This is what we do. Oh, I have kids. We've adopted two kids, you know, and so that's just feels like a natural, easy gateway into the gospel. Like, why? What? That's so hard, you know? So it's just an easy way to I just try to expose who I am, looking for ways to get to where I hope it will go.
Yeah, it's really great. Nathan, you want to add anything to it?
Sure.
Okay.
Of course.
So I had to really think about that when you kind of threw that question out there, to think in advance, because it really just kind of hit me of what do I do and how does that play out? And but as I just asked the Lord to reveal those things to me, I think a few things. One is just working out the gospel with others. So in my position, I mean, it's principal, but what I'm really doing on a daily basis is shepherding the hearts of students and of parents and of staff. And that's really a big task, but it's just working out the gospel with them. So that means openly owning my own sin, repenting of that, asking for forgiveness from students and staff and parents, and just not being afraid to show weakness. You know, it's showing humility, and that's being very aware of my own faults and failures, and that. And a lot of that, like my students and my teachers and my staff, like they mess up all the time and they make mistakes, but so do I. And so in that, I can show grace to that. We can fix it. And we need to work and do things well and for His glory, and we work hard, but there's grace in that as I can show grace to those things. I try to look for people's hurts and pains, and just be willing to dive in that with them and ask questions. Speaking to those things, and proclaim the gospel in it. Be aware, I think a big thing is being aware of sin that's going on around me and being willing to confront it with the gospel, with love and truth. And then the last thing I think is just being willing to be criticized and questioned. And that's not one that I'm good at. Well, none of these are, but this one's the one that God is really refining in me, of being ridiculed and persecuted, and finding joy in that. And you look into that 2 Corinthians 12, where Paul says, like I revel in that because God, that's where I find the depth with Jesus is in that. And I just remember just real quick, like when I had my own business, like one day showing up and just being in a really bad mood and my employees looking at me going, I think you need to go read your Bible a little more this morning. And I kind of blew it off. I was like, yeah, that's funny. Let's keep going. And they're like, no, like you really need to go back inside and read your Bible. And so I did. So I came out a little bit later and things were good. We had a good day. But anyways.
You come out, you apologize.
Yeah.
You own it. Yeah. Yeah. We all know what it's like to live in that kind of place. So I want to kind of move into just mission a little bit. And I want to kind of keep the conversation moving. So I actually had some questions that came through. And I want to just kind of maybe do rapid fire and ask a few very practical questions at the end. But you guys have all kind of talked about mission a little bit, how you live that out in the workplace. So we have one in particular that I think brings this home a lot. So this question says, talking about my faith that my job could offend some people, should I not care? Should I respect how it makes them feel and only talk outside of work to my coworkers about my faith? You're the experts, so.
That's good for you. Well, it's easy in my job because we're gospel saturated in everything we're doing. So that's not, I don't know if that's a fair question.
Sure.
The reality is I think these questions are the same, whether it's in our missional community, whether it's in our job. Our answer should be the same. I mean, relationships are crucial. Some people, like, you really need to build relationships with people and earn people's trust, and you just need to speak truth and love and not be afraid to do that. And we're living in a culture now which is totally anti that. And so anytime we can interject truth in a very loving way, we need to be doing that, if not more so now than ever.
Yeah, that, you know, I've dealt with...
Philip didn't submit this question, but he could have. You have lived this out. We've talked about it before. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've had, I mean, in regards to not wanting to offend, you know, the gospel is offensive. We don't want to add any more offense to it than what it is. And yet I've had people, I mean, I've had a student before that I had a good relationship with that asked me if I've, you know, if homosexuality was a sin, and because he lives in it. And I'm looking at this man who I had a relationship with, and I said, yes, it is. And I told him why. And then at the same sense, I'm talking about my sin. And this guy, there was no broken relationship. There was actually more trust in that relationship. Why is that? Because God had just given me favor with him. Now, in the same sense, that's not going to happen every time. And so, yeah, what we might say, particularly when we're asked straight up, we are called to tell the truth and to speak the truth in love. And so, yeah, there are going to be times when that comes up, and just pray for grace and for boldness. Paul asked the other people, he said, hey, pray for me that I'll be bold as I ought to be. So there have been times that I have not been as bold as I ought to be. And there's also been times that I've not been as loving as I've ought to have been either.
Yeah, my job is a little different even from theirs, because if I get fired, it's like I lose one client. So if I offend one client, they're just probably not coming back next year. And that's okay. I mean, I think there are possibilities that it could be bigger than that. But to this point, it hasn't had bigger consequences than that. So I feel like, again, like I'm looking for people of peace. There are people who are hostile, and I'll speak. And if they don't receive, then I kind of don't cast my pearls to the pig, I guess, to the swine. But those who are receptive, I'm looking. I'm going to try to make a way. Somewhere along the way, like I shifted my thinking, and like my job is something for me, or even to earn money for my family. And I'm like, this is my mission, you know, not my only mission, but this is mission for me. So the ones who God brings, like I'm looking for a way to do that.
Yeah, that's really good. I think, and a theme that kind of is all that, I think, is like prayerful wisdom and discernment in each situation, and speak the truth in love. And then number three, relationship has a lot to do with these conversations. So I think you could summarize a lot of what y'all said in those three things there. Okay, we've got like 5 minutes left, and I've got two questions I want to try to get to. They were specifically asked. I think they were powerful questions. So I want you to answer. We'll try to keep it moving and get through all of you answering both of these questions. But the first one is, I want to do my job really well. I feel like the only way to do that is to give more time to it, and that will take away from time with my family or my involvement in the church. So how do I balance the time I give to my family, church, and work?
Mine's easy. My family comes first. My family is not dependent on my work. It's extra for us, so it's my family gets that. And that means my business is going to suffer sometimes. And it has, even in this season where Jesse has come into our family, I've had to go, well, I'm just going to have to do less right now.
Yeah. I have unique insight into your work. So I know that like there are things you could do to build your business. We've talked about this over the years that you've, you know, have made decisions based on certain things. Can you talk about that real quickly, how you prioritize those and why, and what you have seen the Lord do?
I thought a lot about this when we were talking about working from delight and working for duty. For years, I just tried to build this thing, Charity Clayton Photography, and I really wanted people to know that I was great. And I was doing all the things that you're supposed to do, like the world, like to build your social media, to put yourself out there. And a year after working my tail off at that, I just ended up in this place of anxiety. I've never struggled with anxiety, but like real anxiety. And it was at that point in my business, I was like, Lord, if you want it all, you can have it all. Like I'm done. This is not worth it. And so I just put away social media. It's been about a year, I guess, put away social media. And that was just a step of obedience for me. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but the Lord even gave me more and grew my business. My anxiety has gone down, and I just feel like the opportunities, even for the gospel in that, have, my heart is just so shifted. I said, Lord, here it is. He said, no, you can keep it, which I was actually shocked about. I thought he was going to ask it of me. He said, no, you can keep it. And then I feel like what he has done through it has just been so many connections for the sake of the gospel.
That's good. Yeah. Thank you. Philip.
Yeah, I think I just want to acknowledge first that there are some people that do not have control over your schedule. Like when you took that job, and you know, you're working night shifts or you're work, whatever it is. And so just acknowledge that. But we all of us, there are things that we can control in our jobs in regards to time. You know, when I, you know, even a couple, I would say even a couple of months ago that God just really, you know, kind of light bulb went on in my heart because, you know, I was consistently staying late and the Lord was like, you know, I felt like just brought to my mind, you know, no, don't, you know, don't do that. And a lot of that is too, what's my motivation for staying late? And sometimes it is it to, you know, be a people pleaser, which is where my default can go to. And then sometimes too, you just got to entrust to the Lord, you know, that, okay, I'm stopping here. This is where I'm stopping. And this may not all, I mean, this is just part of the fall. Not everything may get done, that I was hoping to get done. And so the other thing is too, is that, you know, I think about with, in my communication with the people that I report to, you know, I have communicated to them, and they are gracious and good people that I report to. I'm not just saying that because, you know, if
this is posted online.
Yeah. But I do really have informed them, you know, hey, these are some priorities. The other thing are things are too, is sometimes that means reprioritizing other things too at your own home. You know, what kind of lifestyle are you going to live that you have to be able to support? And, and those have been things that Beth and I have just had to process through too, of, you know, what kind of car we're going to get, what kind of car we're not going to get. So I'm going to be driving a minivan for the next 50 years, I think. So
the same minivan? Is that what you're saying?
I hope so. So anyway, yeah.
That's good. Do you want to jump in? 30 seconds.
30 seconds. Wow. So that's a really big question. And like, I mean, I think there's just so many things that you can say to that. I think the things that hit to my heart are like, these are just heart issues. And I think, so if you're not in community, like really talking about these things with other men or with other women, or like you're not real, you know, there's not a healthiness in your marriage to be able to talk about these things, which is why we're in counseling and why we seek counseling for ourselves and for our marriage. And men, it's okay to be in counseling. It's okay to seek those things. It's okay to get counsel from your brothers. Like, you need that. Absolutely. You need community, and you need to be talking with people about these things as often, as much as you possibly can, and really diving deep into those things. So
yeah,
because I think it's just so many like the heart issues. Like I know, like I can get really opinionated really quick on this topic, but I think a lot of it's like priorities, and it's like heart issues of like where you're running with that, like what's what's going on with that. Yeah. And just really looking at like what's, you know, and you need to listen to your spouse. If your spouse is saying certain things to you, and that, and she or he is seeking counsel another and speaking into that, and they're affirming those things, you better listen, or you're going to head down a really bad path. And I just, that's fair warning.
Yeah. Sure. Well, that's good. So there's one more question. I think that what you're saying there really ties in, because you're talking about accountability, brothers and sisters speaking in your life to help answer some of these kind of questions. It's not just your decision to be made. You need to invite other voices. And I think I want to get to this last one to close, because I just feel like it's a really pastoral question, and just give each of you maybe 30 seconds to speak to it. But it is, it's basically a question about how to prioritize and how does the church family that I'm a part of fit together with my work, and where do those fit on the thing? The question really is, should I take a new job that will cause my family to move and in turn have to leave our church? And I followed up, of course, and went, wait, what? But you go where God tells you to go. But the heart of the question really was, as I'm processing a decision like that, how do I factor in my church family into that decision and what my church family has to say? Not just I make a decision by myself about my work, and then I figure out the church stuff later. Does that all make sense?
Yeah.
How would you answer that question?
I mean, I would just say in a very opinionated nutshell that that's like, if you're making that decision on your own, like, you're foolish. You're a fool. And so you need to be seeking counsel from other brothers and sisters and having them speak into that. If you are not diving into God's word and letting the Holy Spirit speak to you through God's word, and you are not spending consistent time with prayer, you need to realize that you are on unstable ground, and you are not in a place to make a good, wise, healthy decision for you or your family. Is that fair?
It's good.
I hope that's hard, but that's true.
It's good.
I love the question. Amen to the question and what Nathan said. Look, we have been in America, you know, have a tendency to be so independent minded. You know, we've seen, and Beth, first of all, I've got to say that my godly wife makes such a huge impact in regards to what we're going to do. But even this, I mean, in decisions about your job, we should be walking close enough with our brothers and sisters in Christ in our church family that they know and also have a sense of leading from the Spirit. And I would even say this, it goes so far, which I'm not crazy about this too, because you see this among even churches. I only have 30 seconds, so I'm going to keep that in mind. But even as pastor, you know, we see a lot of times pastors will go and take jobs elsewhere without consulting their elders. So I'm not, you know, I'm just putting it out there. Sorry. But look, sorry. You know, the most healthy churches that I've seen and pastors that have left have said, the elders have said, man, we really feel like you should go do this too. That's the way that we're supposed to be as a church family. There shouldn't be any surprises of, oh, you're going, you're up and leaving because God told you so. No, if we're walking as a family of God, what we do and where we go, if Beth and I were to head somewhere else, that should be majorly because our church family, our MC, our people that we're walking with are also seeing where God is guiding us. And I think that goes for every single one of us in here. That's what we do, or we're not walking as closely as we should be following with our church. Because you see in the New Testament that happens all the time. Priscilla and Aquila, they were making tents wherever Paul went too, right?
Yeah.
So these things should just be in our minds. Sorry.
That was a long 30 seconds.
Well, and I felt like you have to say something that you need to apologize for afterwards. This is your chance.
Yes.
No, what you guys said was very powerful. You don't need to apologize.
Yes. The ladies in my missional community, like, know my weaknesses and have seen me walk through that season that led me to, like, pretty strong anxiety. And so when I'm considering a change in a job or something like that, I trust that each of them would have something to say. If there was a warning, hey, you remember that you kind of struggle with this tendency? I would hope and expect that they would speak that into my life and affirm something if it weren't true. And I think if I'm committing myself to any job, well, this is maybe not fitting perfect with the question, but a job that's keeping me consistently from gathering with my missional community or with my church body on a Sunday morning, I feel like there needs to be a strong tap on the brakes there, something that's keeping me from regular gospel community. And that goes for work or the lake house on the weekends or kids sports or like whatever it is that your family's involved in. If it's with keeping you from the people who are walking with you toward Jesus, then I feel like there's a good chat.
Thank you all so much for being up here. I hope this was a blessing for you guys to just kind of get down into the weeds of some of these things. I know it wasn't easy for you all to sit up here and speak. So thank you for offering your wisdom to some of the things that we talked about. We just pray that God would bless our church family as we commit our lives to Him. and our work as much as anything, whether it's at home, with family, out in the workplace somewhere, at school, or any other thing. If we work unto the Lord, that's what he's asking of us, and he will determine the fruit and the consequences from there. So I would encourage you in that, church family. Thank y'all so much.